Welcome to Shattering This, the program that's devoted to the largest segment of the world's society, to those who know that every political, religious, military, economic, and media institution is corrupt, that they have all become counterproductive, and that there's no way to resolve any of these problems. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, it's toll-free, it's 877-300-7645. This week, the founder of the Mormon Church was officially outed and, in a way, disgraced. His name is Joseph Smith. He was a con man, and when he got out of prison, trying to shake down a new scam, he invented a religion. It's not much different than Scientology in the sense of a man literally inventing a religion to suit his own flights of fancy. Joseph Smith, it is now known, wed, we'll put that in quotes, as many as 40 wives. In this regard, Joseph Smith's was very much like Muhammad, who also had 40 concubines, if you will, sex partners, that he called wives. In fact, when you look at the basis of Mormonism and the character of Joseph Smith, you see a lot of Muhammad in him. He's a not only had 40 wives, which makes him a polygamist. Many of his wives were already married to someone else. One of his wives was only 14 years old. That's pedophilia. I mean, from a scriptural point of view, the man was a scumbag. Now, the reality is that God did not choose this man. The reality is Mormons have been hoodwinked, and foolishly hoodwinked. He claims, as Muhammad did when the 14-year-old was presented to him and he was in his 50s, that God told him to take her. That's exactly what Muhammad said when he was 50 years old and his best friend's 6-year-old daughter was given to him to be a sex toy. Allah told him that she was his. Now, methinks God didn't actually intervene in this case and that the spiritual messenger was of an entirely different ilk. What do you think, Scott?
I'd agree. I was going to say, did God even say anything like that to Adam about Chawa? Was he just like, hey, Adam, you go ahead and take her? He didn't say that. He never said that.
No, you know, I think Adam could figure it out. But beyond that, pedophilia is one of the things that Yahweh calls an abomination. Yahweh etched in stone that you should not consistently practice adultery. When you have 40 wives and some of those wives are other people's wives, you are up to your eyeballs in adultery. And when one of your sex toys is 14 years old, you're involved in pedophilia. The church acknowledged all of this. By the way, church is a holy pagan term. God does not have a church. And a surprising new essay. Smith's marital history has been the subject of frequent historical, we should actually call it hysterical, debates. But until recently, Mormon leaders have taken pains to present its founding prophet. By the way, he wasn't a prophet. He not only couldn't get the future right, never came up with a single prediction that came true as he forecast, proving that he wasn't a prophet. He couldn't even get history right. I mean, the most stupid part of Mormonism is that, according to Joseph Smith, the native peoples in the Americas, those that we call Indians, the Sioux, the Comanche, the Seminole, the Blackfeet, that the native people, the Aztecs, for example, they weren't native to North and South America, the Incas, the Aztec, and the Maya. No. They weren't even from Siberia and from China and from Russia and from Europe, as their DNA clearly demonstrates. No, according to the numbskull that is the founder of Mormonism, they were all Jews. Yeah, they got on a big boat about the time of Solomon, according to the Book of Mormon. And in this mighty ship, the Ark of Mormonism, they sailed across the Atlantic Ocean, well, first across the Mediterranean, through the Straits of Gibraltar, across the Atlantic, of course, against the trade winds. And they landed on the shores of the Americas, and they became the gene pool for all of the native peoples. Now, there isn't a touch of Jewish DNA in the native peoples. It was a complete lie. And he had them have civilizations with horses. There is not a single fossilized horse in any human encampment in North or Central or South America. He had them with metal coins, something else that did not occur. He had them with pigs and other domesticated animals, none of which existed in the Americas. Archaeology demonstrates as a science that Mormonism is a complete crock. It is an absolute pile of lies. And the truth is ubiquitous. It would take a Mormon all of 5 minutes to verify for themselves that their religion is a complete and utter lie and that their wannabe prophet was a con man. Let me give you another example. When Joseph Smith started his religion, he claimed that the gift he was given that would make him qualified to be the prophet was that he could decipher ancient writings. Now, he did not identify the plates that he was given to decipher as being in Hebrew. No, they were some other hieroglyphic kind of language. And so, even though all of Yahweh's revelations are in Hebrew, he claimed that his special powers of translation of languages and alphabets that no one had seen was his gift. So someone presented him, before the Rosetta Stone was found, a text from Egypt. It was from the Book of the Dead out of Karnak in Egypt. And at that point, no one had determined how to translate the hieroglyphics. And so he said, oh, yeah, I can do this. This is the story of Pharaoh meeting Abraham and of God's interaction between Pharaoh and Abraham. And he went on and on about how he was translating this particular artifact. Well, then we discover the Rosetta Stone, compared what he said to what it actually said, and they weren't even remotely close. It was about the passage to the afterlife for the Pharaoh in the Egyptian religion. Proof that he was a complete fraud. Evidence is ubiquitous. It would take a Mormon all of 5 minutes to figure it out. So I don't feel sorry for Mormons that every single one of them has forfeited their souls. They made that choice. Well, as this essay continues, it says that recently Mormon leaders, who had previously taken pains to present its founding wannabe prophet as happily married to one woman, the church now says that careful estimates put the number now between 30 and 40. The church officially called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they didn't get anything right. At the time that he came up with his mantra, it was known that there was no Jesus, there was no Christ. You know, this is a 19th century con. His name is Yahusha. He most certainly doesn't have a last name. And Christ is a transliteration of an errant Greek title, and he was clearly Hebrew. So if you don't know those things, then you're a dunderhead. You're certainly not speaking for God. And as for church, it's a transliteration of Church, the name of the daughter of Helios. There is nothing even remotely akin to a church in Yahweh's testimony. So he got everything wrong. Even the concept of saints is wrong. Yahweh has a concept of set apart. He has no word that's even remotely akin to saint. Everything in the title is wrong. Anyway, it's disavowed plural marriage in a 1890 act under the pressure from the U.S. government, which said it is illegal. And it went about imprisoning polygamists and seizing their assets. So the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints changed their morality. It's hard to overestimate, this article says, Smith's importance to Mormons. He is viewed as a larger-than-life prophet who receives special revelations from God. He was further from God than Paul, and Paul was light years away. In news that he had taken so many wives, including teens and other men's spouses, some members of the Mormon faith were shocked. Well, so Joseph Smith was a moral scumbag. He was reprehensible. You know that Mormonism includes the so-called Bible as a companion book to Mormonism and claims that Mormonism is just another revelation, the last of the revelations, that everything in the so-called Bible is true. And yet, in the Bible, there is no Jesus. There is no Christ. There is an etched-in-stone instruction against adultery. The Torah speaks out strongly against pedophilia. I think our boy has a problem. In addition to that, the very Torah, which is in the Bible, that is the companion piece to the Book of Mormon, it says don't add anything to this. That would include the Book of Mormon, would it not? Yes, indeed. Joseph Smith was a scumbag, and if that is what it takes to cause Mormons to start questioning their religion, welcome to reality. Take a strong smell of the coffee. Go online. Check out many of the outstanding exposés on Mormonism. According to the church's essay, Smith had not wanted to take multiple wives. But he relented after an angel appeared to him three times between 1834 and 1842. On the angel's last visit, the church said, quote, the angel came with a drawn sword, threatening Joseph Smith with destruction unless he went forward and obeyed the commandment fully. End quote. Oh, good grief. I mean, if you even have the smallest nuance of rational capability, if you're even one touch open to the truth, even remotely open to the truth, you've just got to be laughing. I mean, South Park did that episode where they constantly repeated the drumbeat, dum 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 dum, as they presented Mormonism according to Joseph Smith. I mean, second only to Scientology, Mormonism is the dumbest religion on the planet. I mean, I've always thought that Islam only fooled fools, and I'm going to tell you, you've got to be an absolute Neanderthal to be a Muslim. The religion is that dumb. But Mormonism's dumber still. I mean, shame on those. You know, Scott and I were talking during the break, and he says that he had a friend that was a Mormon, and he was talking with a friend. He says, you know, that stuff's not true, don't you? He says, oh, yeah, I know it's not true. But it makes people nice people. So this idea is that you're going to give 10% of your income to promote a religion that you know is not true, and that's nice? You're offering people false hope and that's nice? That's like telling somebody, yeah, if you go down this path, that's the path to freedom. If they're, you know, somehow in a perilous situation and you're a guide along the way and you see, you know, there's two different ways you can go here. The right path, if you go down there, there's predators that will tear you to ribbons there. And if you go down this path, you're going to find safety, security, down the left path. And they go down the left path based upon your promise of hope, and they get torn to ribbons. Well, it wasn't your fault, right? You knew it was false. Going down the path, that made sense. Go ahead, Scott.
That sounds kind of
dumb, 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 dumb. It is moronic. You know, I'm not surprised that most or a certain significant percentage of Mormons know that the faith is a crock. But then leave it. Disassociate with it. At least at that point, you have some slim possibility that you might stumble into the truth. You might actually come to know God. But it isn't going to happen while you're living a lie with fellow liars. That an angel came to him over 6 years and finally came with a sword and said, Joseph Smith, we're going to destroy you unless you follow the commandment of having sex with little girls, of taking other men's wives, of committing adultery.
Taking 10% of everybody that follows you's money. Doesn't he do that as well? He takes money from the people that follow him.
Absolutely. Part of standard religion. That's the con. As the church essay notes, Smith also saw his fledgling Mormon movement as a restoration of ancient principles of the biblical prophets like Abraham. You know, there is nothing that Abraham and Joseph Smith have in common. One engaged in the covenant, the other led people away from it. One was honest, the other was a con man. One is in heaven, engaged in an eternal relationship with Yahweh. The other is spending his eternity in hell. A new document by Iran's supreme leader, this would be the Ayatollah, is calling for the total obliteration of Israel. You know, imagine that. There are lots of countries like France and Great Britain that speak ill of Israel. The United States does bad things to Israel. But to call for the elimination of Israel, we're not talking about the elimination and saying that they shouldn't participate in the United Nations. We're talking about the complete destruction of Israel and killing every single Jew. And this is the head of Iran. This is the same Iran that the United States invasion of Iraq bequeathed with a state, handing what had been an enemy of Iran under Saddam Hussein, to Iran for complete control. Iran is now in absolute control of Iraq, courtesy of the United States military. This is the same Iran that has partnered with Assad, who has committed Holocaust-degree sadistic tortures on his own people. This is the same Iran that pays for, controls, and equips Hezbollah. This is the same Iran that has hoodwinked the Obama administration into negotiating a nuclear deal so that they have interference for their bomb, playing Obama for an absolute fool. This is the same Iran that just inked a deal to produce two more nuclear reactors. Yes, yesterday with Russia. because the Obaminator had so demeaned Putin, so demeaned Russia, accused him of the very things America was doing, put sanctions on Russia. Russia turned to another country rather than let its people suffer because America has a nincompoop as president. The Russians just inked a deal to build two more nuclear reactors inside of Iran. Both nuclear reactors are designed to run on Iranian-enriched fuel. It gives Iran all of the cover necessary to continue to enrich nuclear fuel. But of course, in reality, the last thing Iran needs is a nuclear power plant. Iran floats on an ocean of natural gas. Iran has access to the Caspian Sea gas reserves, the second largest in the world. There is no more efficient means to boil water than natural gas. They have millions of years of natural gas reserves. The last thing they need is a nuclear power plant to boil water. And so this same Iran that the United States just stupidly pushed into Russian economic hands, that is developing a nuclear bomb that has been given Iraq by America as a result of its invasion of Iraq, and that is the power behind the Assad regime and his holocaust on his own people. That same Iran that the President of the United States sent a secret letter to saying, will you please work with us in eliminating the Islamic State? I mean, they're an enemy of both of ours. Why don't we work together and combine our military prowess to go after the Islamic State? Pretty please. Oh, and this is a pinky a promise that's got to be kept secret now. That same Iran had its supreme leader call for the total elimination, the abolishment of Israel. Wiping it off the face of the map, killing every Jew in the process. And that shows, even to the editor at CNN, that world powers must not rush into a deal on the country's nuclear program despite the upcoming deadline. Well, that's not actually something the journalist or editorial staff of CNN figured out on their own anyway. It's something that Israel's prime minister said in reply. There is no moderation in Iran, according to Benjamin Netanyahu, because there's no moderation in Islam. It is unrepentant, unreformed. It calls for Israel's eradication. It promotes international terrorism, end quote, Benjamin Netanyahu. This terrorist regime in Iran must not be allowed to become a nuclear threshold power. And I call on the P5 plus one countries, don't rush into a deal that would let Iran rush into a bomb. Of course, the P5 plus one refers to the United States, China, Russia, Britain, France, and Germany, recognizing that because of America's malfeasance in the Ukraine, while blaming Russia, the Russians just gave the Iranians everything they need. You know, there's a consequence of acting badly in international affairs. There's a consequence of being an idiot in foreign policy. America just met that consequence, and the country that is going to be sacrificed as a result is Israel. Iran insists that it only wants nuclear energy, and the idiots at CNN aren't capable of saying that is obviously a lie, since the country literally floats on an ocean of natural gas and has access to, direct access to, and indeed control over much of the Caspian Sea natural gas reserves, which are the second largest in the world. Therefore, when it claims that it only wants nuclear energy, it is lying. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, while calling for the elimination of Israel, said he opposes a massacre of the Jewish people in this region. What he means by that is the few Jews that may exist in Iran, I think there's a couple of hundred, in Iraq, where there's probably a handful, in Syria, where there also may be a handful, that in Pakistan, where there may be, again, a handful, that those are not the Jews that he wants massacred. The Jews that he wants massacred are the Jews in Israel. He seeks a referendum, but in the meantime, armed resistance is the cure, he says, calling for the Muslims in the West Bank to be armed like Gaza. That's what he wants. And so the United States wants to grant the West Bank independence. And Iran wants the West Bank to be armed like Gaza. Sure sounds like a sane policy to me. It's always nice when the United States is on the same side as the Iranians. The call reflects an international, internal, this says Palestinian, why don't we say Muslim politics. Iran supports Hamas, the militant group that controls Gaza. That's why, because Hamas is more ruthless. Hamas is more fundamentalist Muslim. Hamas rival faction Fatah controls the West Bank. On Sunday, the government in the West Bank accused Hamas of bombing its leaders' homes. Yeah, they're getting along splendidly. Kind of like the Muslims are getting along in Syria. Like the Muslims are getting along in Iraq. The Iranian leader made his call for Israel to be annihilated on Twitter over the weekend. I'm sure that the founders of Twitter were so proud of themselves that they created a forum for the foremost Muslim spokesperson on earth. Maybe they can now get, since they have a public offering, maybe they can get Ben Affleck to star in the role of the Ayatollah Khomeini calling for the annihilation of Israel. He'd be perfect, don't you think? Just grow a nice beard, put on the Ayatollah religious attire, and then call for the annihilation of Israel and pretend like, yeah, that's a loving and compassionate religion. Mixed in with the tweets, insisting that Iran is committed to diplomacy on other issues, Khamenei, the highest-ranking Islamic cleric on earth, posted a series of tweets slamming Israel. Among them was a document called 9 Key Questions About the Elimination of Israel. Boy, it sure puts them on the same side as God, doesn't it? God is promising to have Israel survive, that they are his chosen people, it is his chosen place, it is the promised land, and these Muslim morons that claim that their Quran confirms the Torah want Israel obliterated. Methinks that there's a little hypocrisy going on here. While he and other Iranian leaders have spoken similarly of Israel in the past, the one-page document is packed with specific new details. It says the proper way of eliminating Israel is for all the original people of Palestine, including Muslims, Christians, and Jews, wherever they are, whether inside Palestine or in refugee camps in other countries or just elsewhere, to take part in public and organized referendum. Well, since the last Palestinian died 2,600 years ago, they're going to have a really difficult time doing that. But, you know, if that's what you want, Ayatollah, have at it. If you can resurrect the dead from 2,600 years ago, I have no issue that the Philistines would be aroused hating Israel. They would be right with you. Different religion, but same enemy. So why not get the original people of Palestine, which would be the Philistines, to go against Israel? All you have to do is show a little miracle here. Why don't you resurrect the long-dead Philistines? Now, the Christians are going to have a tough time inside of Israel to respond to, since Muslims have either killed them or exiled them. It'll be a little difficult for you to pull that off. But then again, you're a Muslim. You're the highest-ranking Muslim cleric in the world, so you're dumb as a stone. You're as stupid as the black stone that you worship as God. As dumb as your Quran. This document, article from CNN, says it's unclear who Khomeini thinks the original people of Palestine are, given that the region's history dates back thousands of years and includes countless waves of immigration and exile. That's not true, of course, but what would you expect for CNN? The region's history does date back thousands of years. It dates back thousands of years because of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. The Philistines, for example, and therefore Palestine, is only known to the world because of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. Without the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, the name Philistine and Philistine is Philistia, actually, is not known. They left no record. There's no language. There's no relic. There is, well, through archaeology based upon the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, their cities have been unearthed because their location was described and they were named in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. But that's the only reason they're even known. And when they found the cities, the only thing that they know about them, because they had no writing, is what's recorded of them in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. So there can't be a Philistine, nor a Palestinian, nor a Palestine, without the Torah, prophets, and Psalms being true. And if it's true, then the land belongs to Israel. I mean, it really is that simple. There haven't been countless waves of immigration and exile. You know, there are very specific times that the Jews came into the land, that they were exiled from the land, and they returned to the land. And the number of times is you can count on probably two hands. That's hardly countless. And it's obvious who the people of Israel are. There are no people of Palestine because, well, they were killed by people coming from yesteryear's Iran, the Assyrians and the Babylonians, the same Persians that comprised the Iranian population, murdered them, obliterated them, annihilated them, just like Khomeini wants to do with Jews. And so it's really obvious who the people of Israel are. Well known. It's not in dispute, not amongst anybody with half a brain, not with anybody that isn't completely ignorant. Now, this is interesting. A June poll by the Washington Institute found that most Palestinians, this would be the Muslims in Gaza, oppose a two-state solution, and they want to work towards abolishing Israel, the goal that is in line with the Hamas charter. So the very people that America wants to give a state to, the very people that America just coordinated an international gift rewarding them for terrorism of over $6 billion, paying them to be terrorists, rewarding them for being terrorists. They don't want a two-state solution. They don't want what America is trying to offer them. They want the obliteration of Israel. It has always been the case. That's the reason why two states is not a solution. Two states is simply a launching pad for one state. And the one state will be Islamic. That's what it is. And you don't have to be a genius to figure this out. A July poll by the Dialogue Institute found that most Israelis support a two-state solution. That's because they're hopeful, because they're naturally peaceful, because they think that other people will be similarly rational, similarly logical, similarly responsible, similarly civilized. That largely because in Israel it's illegal to talk honestly about Islam. U.S. President Barack Hussein Obama recently sent a letter, I mentioned this, to Khamenei, about cooperating in the fight against the Islamic State, the terror group that calls itself, it says here, the Islamic State. Revelations about the letter have raised questions as to whether what is Obama's stance on Iran and is it softening? He's got a soft spot for Muslims. U.S. officials insist that Washington is not coordinating military actions with Tehran. And yet, the army that we're training, the army that we're equipping, is managed by Tehran. So how could you not be coordinating with Tehran? We'll be back after the news and commercial break.